97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good morning. Happy Monday to all of you. I'm Kim St. Ange, filling in for Mark for just one more day. Mark's coming back tomorrow, Tuesday. So Scott Jagow back with us this morning.
I'm back. I made it back.
You're back, baby. We are back on Facebook, but we had a little computer situation, so we are currently reloading.
Soon.
And we will be on very soon, if that's the way that you like to watch. However you like to watch, listen, we're grateful that you're here. Happy Columbus Day. Some of you may be listening and you have the day off. A lot of the non-essential federal offices, those are closed. Some of the banks are closed. Post office will be closed today. We, of course, are at work.
We are always here.
Anybody else listening on their way to work right now is wishing, gosh, I was one of the people who actually got off today.
I can't keep track. Is it still Columbus Day?
Indigenous Peoples Day, okay, according to Joe Biden. Remember, I think Columbus
Day.
Made
that up, or was it
actual
designation?
No, I think he designated it as such, but I feel like it was all that PC stuff that they were worried.
I know that part.
Oh, Christopher Columbus is so offensive.
Well, so. I remember, I lived across the park at the time during the pandemic, mm-hmm, from Tower Grove.
Oh, I remember park, covering that for KMOV.
And they took down the statue.
Yep.
And, man, it was a wave. It was just a wave of PC-ness.
You got to erase all the history, Scott. That's
you
the way
can't,
to do it.
You can't have historical figures who did bad things because, I mean, that just messes with our mojo. It's seriously, I don't understand it. This bothers me to the nth degree. Mm-hmm. I do not get this. Yeah, well, now Scott on the Spot started at 5:09. Make the No, but seriously, why do we have to erase the history? We can acknowledge things were not great or somebody did something terrible. Why do we have to destroy the remnants of it so that, hey, maybe we should remember it so we don't repeat it?
I wholeheartedly agree. I watched those statues come down. I would interview people saying, do you think it should come down? Yes. Why? Well, he's racist. Oh, okay. I mean, they had zero clue why they wanted a particular statue to come down. King Louis, I think it is, in Forest Park. I remember asking people why they wanted that statue to come down.
The one in front of the art museum?
Yes. And the answers were ridiculous. So uneducated. And if they had a one-liner about it, it was so clear that they listened to somebody else, probably on TikTok, say it, and they just spit that back out, but there was no actual understanding behind what they were even saying.
And that was, these things happened a long, long time ago when we were, as a people, as humanity, pretty ignorant and uneducated. But it doesn't mean we have to forget it. We can rail against it, but we don't have to forget it. And tear down all this stuff. I don't understand it.
Well, and think about all these public schools. And I'm not just trying to hate on the public schools, but history class. I mean, what are the kids being taught? If you can't teach about Christopher Columbus because of X, Y, and Z, whatever the reason may be, how are kids learning about how our country came about? I mean, seriously, how do you tell that story without telling the story of Christopher Columbus?
Yeah, that's a good question. So what do they do instead of 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue? What do they do?
There's got to be a new rhyme they came up with, Scott. I'd like to know what that rhyme is. If you're a teacher and you've heard of this.
What rhymes with syphilis?
Carl, you let us know.
What rhymes with racist? I mean, it's
misogynistic, sexist,
right.
Racist, all the things. Yeah, come up with some words that rhyme, and you're right. That probably is what they're going with now. Okay, we have a packed show for you this morning. Of course, you just mentioned Scott on the Spot, which it sounds like, Scott, you have a lot of feelings this morning. So that's coming up at the bottom of the hour. We have Hans von Spakovsky, which I'm eager to talk to him. That's 6:20 this morning because the Department of Justice is suing Virginia for removing non-citizens from its voter rolls. Give me a break. And then in the 7 o'clock hour, we have Wes Martin. He is a pastor at a local church, and he's been outspoken about what's going on, about how many Christians are just choosing not to vote, and a lot of pastors have been silent on issues. You know, what is the church's role in elections, in politics? We're going to talk with him again. That is in the 7 o'clock hour. Right now, Carl, let's get to our shortlist.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Joy cometh in the morning.
There's the cackle we all love. And the latest accent, I guess. Have y'all heard about, I'm going to do with my accent. Have y'all heard about her latest little effort to get churchgoers to vote for her, specifically black churchgoers in the battleground states? Well, she's decided she's going to go to church services to try to convince them.
And I'm hereby calling for the death penalty for any migrant that kills an American citizen or law enforcement officer.
That was the packed rally in the Coachella Valley over the weekend. Trump calling for the death penalty for any illegals who are killing American citizens or law enforcement officers. I support it.
Only, Martha, do you hear yourself? Only a handful of apartment complexes in America were taken over by Venezuelan gangs, and Donald Trump is the problem?
I feel like every time I hear J.D. Vance talk, I need to do a slow clap for this guy. He just has such a great way of throwing the question back at the reporter. And in this case, it was ABC's Martha Raddatz. When she's acting like it's not a big deal that only a handful of the apartment complexes in Colorado were overtaken by Venezuelan gangs.
Our brand new ABC News Ipsos poll shows Kamala Harris with a narrow 2-point lead over Donald Trump nationally among likely voters.
That's referring to the ABC poll that has Trump narrowing that gap. So he is at 48% according to this ABC poll, Harris at 50%, which of course is within the margin of error. I actually think that that's truly not even accurate. I think back to 2016 when the polls all had Trump far below Hillary Clinton, and then look what happened. There's an NBC poll out now that has him in a dead tie, 48-48. When you add in the third party candidates, Trump actually gets a 1 percentage point bump. People are saying, according to the NBC poll, they're saying that the topic of abortion, that issue, is their top motivating issue. Every other poll I've seen, people are often answering the economy, the border, that those are their two big issues. But according to that one, it's abortion. I want to switch gears here and talk about what happened over the weekend in the Coachella Valley. People are saying a possible third assassination attempt against Donald Trump. Scott, are you seeing all this?
Yeah, I'm just reading through it right now. I don't have good details, though.
This is just a weird situation. So there's this guy, 49-year-old Vem Miller, who was stopped outside a checkpoint. He was trying to go to that Trump rally. Well, they're saying that he had a phony press pass. They end up searching his car. They find all these fake passports, driver's license with different people's faces and names on them. He also had a shotgun, a loaded handgun, and they're saying a high-capacity magazine. So they end up arresting him. The local sheriff's office is saying, yeah, we stopped what I think was going to be a third assassination attempt. Well, the feds don't really agree. They're saying it's very unlikely that he was trying to assassinate Trump. They're not planning to investigate it that way. They're saying this guy, Vem Miller, is a registered Republican. In fact, I've seen videos of him at the RNC, which just because he's at the RNC doesn't mean anything. If somebody wanted to kill somebody, they could make every effort to track them. And I don't know that that means much, but they're saying they're calling him a part of this group called the Sovereign Citizens Movement. And I've heard more and more about this group where they're saying that they remain separate or sovereign from the United States. They often have the handmade.
Very far
license
right.
Plates. Yeah. So that's kind of what's going on. It's a very odd situation. Was this an attempted assassination attempt? Would it have been if they hadn't stopped him? He already bailed out. He was like paid $5,000 to get out. He's saying it's complete BS, the guy, Vem Miller. He's like, right. I was not trying to hurt Trump. He's like, I'm a Trump supporter.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's with a right-wing group, but we don't know it's described in the media as a far-right group, but I don't know much about him.
Well, and that's what's hard to differentiate is the media, the ABCs, the NBCs, they all want to paint, if you're right, they want to say far right. Like, how often do you see one of those outlets, the mainstream media, saying far left extremist versus how many times you see far right extremist? If you're conservative, I guess you're an extremist is how it's often painted in the mainstream media.
Yeah.
So this is going to be interesting to see what's going on. I mean, even Charlie Kirk saying, I am talking to some sources and they're saying that he was not trying to kill Trump. But More to come on this. It's interesting, though, that the local sheriff's office is not in agreement with the feds. You know, one saying it was a potential assassination attempt, saying one, no, he just happened to have guns in his car and he was trying to attend the rally. Okay, when we come back, I mentioned in the headlines the souls to the polls. That's the latest effort by Kamala Harris to try to target specifically black churchgoers. She wants to make sure they're voting for her. The black vote for Kamala Harris, the support is down. So we're going to dive into that when we come back. Carl, who has our national anthem?
Usher is 46 today.
Usher, all right.
And he's coming to town and at the end of the month, hopefully, unless he gets caught up in anything.
I was going to say named in the P. Diddy lawsuit.
But here's Usher and his fabulous voice doing the national anthem.
Because what we see, it's so hard to see that we lose faith or a vision of those things we cannot see but must know.
I just wanted to inspire all of you this morning, and I thought, who better to do that than Kamala Harris? Because everything she says, including what she just said right there, wow. So inspiring. The problem is it makes absolutely no sense. I'm telling you, if she doesn't have a teleprompter, that is what you get. Even if you have a teleprompter, sometimes you tend to get that. If she goes off script just even a little bit. So Kamala Harris has launched this, what she's calling Souls to the Polls effort. Started yesterday, trying to get black churchgoers in battleground states to turn out for her. So there's 20 some odd days. So she's going to be doing this multi-state effort, again, in the battleground states. And this also involves creating what's being called a faith advisory board made up of 10 prominent faith leaders, including her pastor, Dr. Amos C. Brown III, who I guess leads the Third Baptist Church in San Francisco. And they're going to help her. They're going to go out, well, not only at their own churches, but apparently they're going to go out and try to spread the word that, yeah, you should vote for Kamala Harris. You know, the candidate who supports abortion, the candidate who supports trans surgeries for minors, you know, all of those things that just are perfectly fit in with biblical teachings, that is the candidate that you should be voting for. This, as a Christian, this really bothers me. And I just think about my own church. And if we were to ever, let's just say, okay, for argument's sake, that Donald Trump came to my church because he wanted to get white people to vote for him. Even if that wasn't it, he just came to the church to speak. Can you imagine the backlash? I can just see KSDK, KMOV, all of those local TV stations here would be all over that, reaming the church. I can't believe you brought a political, you know, candidate in to try to get them to vote. Da, 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 da. But somehow, when Kamala Harris does it, it's completely fine. They brought out the big guns for her because, you know, within the last number of days, we've seen Obama out there and he was telling the black men specifically, you know, she understands our struggle. You need to vote for her. I don't know if it's because you are scared to vote for a woman. He did say that. He thinks that's why some men are not wanting to vote for her. Scott, is that a reason that you would not vote
for
Kamala Harris?
What he brought in was, you as black men need to vote for Kamala Harris. But then he added that you wouldn't vote for her because she's a woman. I mean, so it's not just race, also gender.
Right.
Politics right here before the election.
Right. And I've even said there's probably a very small percentage of people who are going to say, I'm not voting for her because she's a woman. But I would argue that the vast majority of people don't care if it's a man, a woman. They don't care about the skin color of the person. They want somebody who is qualified for the job. Again, there are going to be some people who are going to care, who are going to say, I'm not going to vote for a white person, or I'm not going to vote for a black person. Obviously, racism exists in the country. Like, it's still a thing. I'm not in denial about that. But the left wants to make it, they really want to highlight that. And that is what is so ridiculous about it.
But they're the ones that are highlighting
it. No, exactly. 100%. So, yeah, Bill Clinton, Obama, they're all going around trying to campaign for her, talk to these, specifically the black voters in these battleground states. I just find, can you play, this is what she said also with that church, the church service that she went to. Play clip 3.
Joy cometh in the morning.
Yeah, joy. Do you feel the joy today, Scott?
Well, yeah. I mean, she must have been raised in a church like that, and she was also middle class. Don't forget that.
Wait, what? She was born in a middle-class family?
Yes.
I did not know that until right now. She's never said that before. Are you sure?
I've heard it a few times.
There's actually a Family Feud skit. SNL has been...
Oh, they killed it.
It's been pretty funny, okay? Credit where credit's due. They did a skit with Family Feud, and they asked her a question, and her answer was, well, listen, I was born in a middle-class family.
Funny.
It was... You should go watch it. I'll try to play a clip from it later on. All right. After the break, it is Scott on the Spot. I'm Kim Sainange, filling in for Mark.
Not Kim on a whim, but Scott on the Spot.
Scott on the Spot is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Visit MissouriBrushControl.com.
All right, Carl, hit it.
Really?
Yeah, let's start with this. It'll get us kicked off.
I need to take it down.
Oh, okay.
I need to make sure that it's not happening and then bring down your music and then hit this. Why?
It's okay. I can talk for a minute.
That's why.
Okay, there we go. This was an actual song, 1974 by Pilot, but everyone in the United States knows it as Ozempic,
yes.
Right? And so I just am gobsmacked by the pharmaceutical industry's advertising. And this is what led me to Scott on the Spot. I started looking at this. There are only two countries in the world that allow pharmaceuticals to campaign directly to people. It is the United States and, oddly, New Zealand. Two countries. So it's a $6 billion annual industry, and I am perplexed because you can't get away from these ads. They're everywhere, and they're all the same. There's people in a mass group walking toward the camera or rollerblading. Rollerblading has nothing to do with psoriasis, as far as I'm concerned. But we have Sky Rizzy. And here's why these commercials work. Because I remember the names of the drugs. There's Ozempic. There's Sky Rizzy. Give me one.
See, those are the two that I'm thinking of.
And there's... Okay.
Wegovy.
There. There's another one.
That's the one with
so
the
So also,
weed.
I was just... Looking at, yes, that one. I saw that one yesterday, and it was a bunch of people walking toward the camera, smiling, and in a group. You can tell it's a set in Hollywood. The whole thing, and then there's the lady who does the diabetic drug where she's so happy. You know,
it's, well, I think of like RSV, them talking about RSV. What else is the other one? Who am I thinking of? Who was the famous artist, the singer, who was singing about getting your COVID shot? And that jingle was caught in my head. And of course, right now, I'm not remembering it. John Legend, that's who it was.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
remember
right.
John Legend was, I don't know if it was like a, I think it was a
and
Pfizer commercial.
Cindy Lauper has the
oh, yeah,
psoriasis
she has one too. And I just can't, the volume of these ads. Like if you watched the baseball game last night, they're just, it's every single break. There are at least two drug ads.
And how many people do you think mute the commercials?
I don't know.
Well, that's
but
the problem with a live sporting event, though. You can't.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people watch it in sports bars. They probably, but they have the sound on.
But
some
then
place.
they're talking to their friends or whoever they came with. Maybe
the
during
point
the
is the point is that A, these things work in terms of us remembering them, and B, it's a really multi-billion-dollar industry.
Yes.
And the other thing is there are regulations that date back to the '60s about what you can and can't say. So. You can say certain things about a drug, but these days people are using drugs, and I mean doctors are using and researchers are using drugs for other things because they find in some size sample, and it not necessarily a good one, a big enough one, that it works for something else. But you can't say that. You can't say that in the commercial. I'm also fascinated by the origin. So the origin of the words that they use, the drug companies. They use words based mainly on the chemical composition of the drug. So the government comes out and says it's this really complicated drug. For example, Tylenol is based on the actual drug. somewhere in that long word is Tylenol. So Ambien is a sleeping aid, obviously. It translates as good morning. Morning and BN. Ambien.
I don't know. I took French, and I don't know how I never put that name together.
It's a terrible name, because if you've ever taken Ambien, the morning is hell.
You feel good at night because you drift right off to sleep, and then the morning you feel like you got hit by a truck.
Right. So Lasix is short for last 6 hours. L-A-6. Lasix. Huh. Okay. Levitra comes from elevate. The word elevate. Lopressor comes from lower blood pressure.
Ah.
I mean, it is... I want one of these jobs where I get to sit in a room and come up with this stuff. Lunestra, sleep aid, Luna, moon.
I didn't really put that. A lot of these I didn't put together.
Viagra, this is a good one.
Oh, let's hear this one.
Oh, this is a good one, because it suggests vitality and vigor, and it rhymes with Niagara. Seriously, that's why they came up with it. It also is theorized that the name was inspired by the Sanskrit word Viagra, which means tiger.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, I'm just saying. Oh, it's so crazy, the names that they come up with. And the biggest issue is it actually, are these drugs actually making people healthier?
No, the answer is no. This is called a Band-Aid, that you're not addressing the root cause of the issue. You might feel better, right? But you're not actually addressing, again, what's causing the issue. So you might... The symptoms are going to go away for a little bit, or maybe forever, if you're taking that pill every single day the rest of your life. But you're not, again, you're not fixing what originally caused the symptoms. I have a huge problem with all of this. It is disgusting to me the way that the pharmaceutical companies have taken over our country, the way the federal government is in bed with them. TV station. It's so disgusting when you watch the amount of money that's poured in, not only Capitol Hill, you know, with the lobbyists who really go after these lawmakers, give them, I don't even want to know how much money, to vote in a way that would support their agenda. It is so out of control here. And what bothers me, too, is knowing that the United States allows this. The United States, the FDA allows just toxic chemicals. Last week, I was talking about artificial dyes in the food. For example, many other countries do not allow, but for some reason, our federal government deems it completely safe. And yet, they're now figuring out, finally, that it's causing all sorts of issues like cancer and ADHD and depression and anxiety. All the things that we have seen soar over the last decade or two here in the United States, they're starting to finally link it back to some of these things that they're saying, oh, it's perfectly safe. This is going to help you.
Well, let's get back to the drugs for 1 second. Doctors, you forgot doctors. In the commercials, they say, ask your doctor. So the doctor has to know about all these drugs, according to the commercial.
And guess what? I think people might make the assumption that I am against doctors. I've seen people comment that, okay? I am not. Doctors are absolutely necessary, and so many brilliant doctors, okay?
100%.
Let me be clear on that. But I also have a problem with pharmaceutical companies giving these doctors a kickback if they're able to prescribe enough of these things. And so there's a financial motivation, and correct me if I'm wrong, there is a financial motivation for them to do this, just as we saw with the COVID shot. They were getting tens of thousands of dollars in bonuses, even from Anthem. If you go on Anthem's website right now, you're going to see the amount of money that was given bonuses if they were able to get enough people vaccinated. That's insane. So you're asking a doctor about a drug. To your point, Scott, they have a million drugs. So how are they ever going to have the time, with how busy they are, to look into all these drugs thoroughly like they should?
And there's
also money associated with that. So, yeah, I agree. The whole ask your doctor thing, no.
Yeah, and...
do your own research. That's what the answer is.
Right, which is not always easy to get.
It is not. You're right.
And you get conflicting opinions and whatnot. But, yeah, if you go into a doctor's office and you have a certain condition, I mean, I have heard this from my own doctor saying, oh, there's so many good drugs out there right now that can help you. Right. And to his credit, he's like, yeah, but that means you got to take another drug.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he knows that's not necessarily the answer. But on the other hand, it's obvious that these drug companies are in cahoots with the doctors because they say it in the commercials. Ask your doctor about Lunestra and Ozempic and et cetera.
So, I mean, everybody's on Ozempic, by the way. Can we just talk about that? Is that not the new, like, weight loss
solution? Right.
Yeah.
But is that what it's supposed to
I thought that was Ozempic.
Be?
Carl, do you know about this?
No,
Ozempic
I think it is.
Is
yeah.
And Wegovy. It's semaglutides.
Yeah. It's yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
and Roe, and there's another one. And now Weight Watchers is going to make a pill form.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's interesting.
So
I didn't know
those
about that.
People that don't want to get the shot every week can just take a pill.
Because a pill fixes everything, right? We don't have to work out. We don't have to eat healthy. Just take a pill.
But it's the way they're presented also on the screen with these happy people who have... It's something out of 1984. I don't even... Science fiction. They're rollerblading and they're jumping around and it's just crazy. It's like, oh my gosh, this little pill saved my life. So the expectations skyrocket when you watch one of these commercials and you're an older person, let's say you got lots of maladies and you're thinking, oh my gosh, I can just go to the doctor and get drug A here and everything's going to be great.
Right.
I don't have to work out or eat better.
Well,
or
and
whatever.
I support taking a drug if that's what you need as a crutch to get you where you can actually function. Like if the symptoms are so intense and you can't even go about your daily life, I totally understand taking a drug, right? Like one that you were talking about. But that shouldn't be the solution. That shouldn't be the goal, just to keep you on that drug day in and day out. And that's the problem, is that the drug companies, they want that because guess what? Cha-ching, that's how they make their money. The goal should be, if that's necessary, use that and then address the root issue and fix it so that you don't have to, hopefully, you don't have to take a a pill every day. Now, I understand there are certain things, diseases, you are going to be on medication the rest of your life.
I
understand that. But that's not what I'm talking about here.
No, of course not. And I would say that the solution to this is have an honest and direct conversation with your doctor if you trust them. Talk about it. Don't sugarcoat it. Don't dance around it. Say, look, I don't want to take a drug if I don't have to. Do you think I have to? And what drug really is going to work? Don't BS me with people dancing and sitting
and rollerblading.
Yeah. Don't.
And remember, that was a diabetes drug, and the people that needed it for a while didn't get it because everybody wanted to lose weight.
Right. So that's the secondary usage of these drugs. It's also very scary to me.
But then you see in the fine print, may cause death, heart attack, stroke, internal bleeding, brain bleeding.
All of the above.
All of the above. But please take our drug. Yeah, you hit a nerve with me. This is a topic I feel strongly about. When we come back on the other side of the break, did you see what happened in Israel? 4 Israeli soldiers were killed. Hezbollah launched drone attacks. Dozens are injured. Now the United States is getting involved. I'm going to explain all that here again when we come back. Well, some sad news to report. 4 Israeli soldiers were killed in a Hezbollah drone attack. Dozens are injured. I've seen different numbers on how many were injured, but this was a military base that they targeted. And what's crazy about this is that it basically got through the Iron Dome. Because remember just 2 weeks ago when Hezbollah launched about 200 missiles, almost all of them were intercepted by the Iron Dome. And the ones that actually did land, they just so happened, thank goodness, in the water, in empty fields, there was really no damage. No one was killed. No one was injured, which is a miracle. So now after this latest attack that happened, the U.S. has decided to deploy an advanced missile defense battery to Israel, along with about 100 troops that are going to be operating it. Iran has been very clear in its proxies, Hezbollah, that it's going to continue attacking Israel. I mean, they have bombs being lobbed over there every single day, and I'm not exaggerating when I say every single day.
Let's not forget, Iran is behind some of this. These are Iranian drones.
Oh, 100%.
Their technology.
Which is insane when you think about the fact that Obama gave billions of dollars to Iran. Remember Biden and Harris trying to unfreeze $6 billion for them? And I know that whole thing took a turn, but it's wild to me that there would even be a thought of wanting to support a terrorist state like Iran that supports these groups like Hezbollah.
And the Iron Dome wasn't designed to stop drones. It was designed to stop rockets. So drones are a new part of warfare, fairly new anyway, and it's insidious. It's hard to stop. They can fly much lower than rockets. So that's what's going on here.
Well, okay, so it'll be interesting then to see what they're calling. It's a terminal high altitude area defense. It's been deployed to Israel. That was back in 2019, but that was only for an exercise. So this is, it sounds like, the first time where it's actually going to be in use. And that's why they're sending over these troops, is to make sure that it's operating as it should. But the goal here is to be able to intercept these. So I assume that that would be able to intercept these drones that you're saying, you know, can fly at a different altitude, other things that make them harder to detect and stop.
Right. I mean, obviously they can adapt, but right. I'm just saying the original design of the dome was to stop rockets because that was the warfare at the time. Now we have drones throughout warfare. And so it's interesting to see what the U.S. is going to do here.
You hear people talk about World War III, and maybe you think some people are being dramatic when you feel like that we're headed in that direction. But I do. I mean, I support the United States absolutely backing Israel. And I think under Biden, it's not been that. I mean, they withheld ammunition and other things that to me just showed that, you know, we want to sit there and say, oh, yeah, we support them. But when push comes to shove, they really, their actions are not matching up with their words. There's been a wishy-washy relationship between Benjamin Netanyahu and Biden. And even remember, Harris had that opportunity, I think, when he came to speak to Congress, and she wasn't there. And she used the excuse, well, I'm campaigning. Come on. Really? Yeah. You just so happen to have her. No, you know what she was doing? I think she was speaking to the group of sorority girls.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
So, yeah, those are important people.
Well, they are. Absolutely. I get why you skipped the meeting with Benjamin Netanyahu for that. Come on. You know, that was planned ahead. She wants to basically walk that teeter on the line of, I support Israel, but I don't support Benjamin Netanyahu. In fact, she was asked that question. And do you support Benjamin Netanyahu? And she said, the question really should be, do I support Israel? And the answer is yes.
No, I believe what she said was, listen, I'm from a middle class family.
Did you know I had my mom, but then my grandma actually raised me? I worked at a McDonald's. I prosecuted criminals like Donald Trump. Come on. We need to do a bingo card for just anything, the ridiculous stuff Kamala Harris says at every single rally. And then just word salad makes no sense. She was saying more of that over the weekend. That could be our next president. We'll be right back. I'm Kim St. Ange in for Mark Cox.
Get more at 971talk.com.